Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable, and this is Bob Shoy. I'm all on my own for this intro and most of this episode. As regular listeners know, I've been away for the last month. I've been in New Orleans and in Florida, and I'm home, and I've been going through some of the recording I did in New Orleans and putting together this sort of mini episode of my recordings there. To bide listeners over while I get Tiss and Beef back on track and we finish off the Indiana Jones episodes. We're actually recording the next one of those tomorrow, so that shouldn't be following on too far behind this one. But what this episode is going to be, like I said, is going to be a combination of recordings I made in New Orleans with Rebecca. And it's going to have us checking out the cemeteries and going on ghost walks and meeting a voodoo priest. And bits and bobs, you'll hear it as it goes for this episode. And I'll jump in a couple of times, probably just to give some context as I edit these things. So enjoy. This is the Weird New Orleans episode. Hello. I am currently sitting in City Park in New Orleans, or New Orleans. Everyone keeps telling me different ways to say it. I'm not local, so I don't think it really matters. I don't look like a local. I'm quite obviously a tourist. So. But this is my second and half day here, and I haven't done any recording yet. Haven't really had a lot to talk about. But yesterday, we did do a walking tour of the Garden District. And I was seeing if I could remember anything that might be interesting to Weird Tales listeners, and the only thing I can think of is a lot of that was walk around saying look at this swanky house, Sandra Bullock lives there. But we did go past one of the big cemeteries, and people who know a little bit about New Orleans probably know they have interesting cemeteries. I knew that before I came here, but they're all above ground because that's Rebecca, by the way. Hi. They have tombs because because they're below sea level, or most of New Orleans is.
Yeah, a lot of New Orleans is under sea level, and a lot of it flooded with Katrina, like several blocks down.
Yeah, but that's
down.
Not why they started.
No, yeah. But as soon as you dig down, so you have to bury a body like 6 feet under, and when you dig down, the water table, you'd get to the water table before you got to your 6 foot.
Well, there's that so cemetery they, was at yesterday. He said it was only about a foot above sea level, so...
So what they tried to do was bury people when they got here was make holes in the coffins and then like stamp them down.
So that the water filled up the coffin and kept it under.
And kept it under and then...
Or fill them with bricks as well.
Fill them with bricks and things like that.
Stamping down on them, yeah.
He said that when there was a flood, they would just all raise the dead.
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead. We are in Voodoo Town after all.
And they would float down the river.
Yeah. So I thought that was quite interesting. And they also they build the tombs above ground.
There's like a couple of shelves in there, isn't there?
But what he said is, it's actually, you can fit way more bodies.
Well, it's, he said it's a, what did he call it?
Rotary system. Something like that.
So basically,
again,
you put,
listeners, we haven't got this written down. We're just trying to remember off the top of our head. And actually, Becca's already remembered more than me. So
yeah. So basically, there's a few shelves in the tomb. It's like a little making shapes with my hands. But
go on. What? It's like a what?
It's like a tiny little garage house.
I think listeners know what a tomb is.
It's a bit like a shed, a glorified shed.
Well, it's a bit more ornate than a shed.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, it's like a.
But they write the names of the bodies on the side.
Yeah. So you put somebody on the top shelf.
Yeah.
And then you wait a while. And then when the next person dies, you put them on, like, another shelf.
Yeah.
And then once the shelves get full, whoever was in there the longest...
If someone in your family dies and it's, like, a long time later, and some of the other shelves have been filled up by other people by then, you dig out the oldest dead body, scrape out what's left of them, which is not a lot.
And put them right at the bottom, and it's... I can't remember what he called it.
You shove them in with the other family member?
No, you put it at the bottom. There's a big bit at the bottom that's, like, random stuff.
No, I thought you dig out that shelf and put it in the shelf with the other family member, because he said it's like a family reunion.
Yeah, at the bottom. It's like a different section.
Oh, God. Any local listeners listen to this, they're going to be like, you got it all wrong.
Ruined it. No, I think that it's called something.
Because he was like, they used to wrap them in like a bit of linen, but now they just wrap them in like a plastic bag.
Yeah, to keep them separate. But they put them all at the bottom, and then everyone stays, once they're just bones and stuff, everyone stays at the bottom.
But you get a new shelf for the new... Well, you clean out that shelf.
You clean the shelf for the new person, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is quite efficient, actually.
It's an odd system, though, isn't it? But you said now, because cremation's more popular in the modern day,
yeah,
a lot of the time it is just like the ashes go in there.
Yeah, I like that. It makes sense.
I mean, if you opened one of them tombs and it's just full of, like, urns of ashes...
Yeah.
It's almost very Egyptian.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
Well, they have mummies and stuff. But didn't they have, like... They have urns full of your organs.
Yeah, they separated the
organs.
That's
what I'm thinking of, yeah, Egyptian organs. Anyway, they rotate... We might have got some of the finer details around, but they rotate them around.
But
I found
really
that interesting.
It's expensive. To buy a tomb, he said it was, like, $300,000 plus.
Really?
Yeah.
Nick Cage has a spot, doesn't he?
Well, he made his own. It's a pyramid.
It's a big pyramid in one of them. Good old Nicky Boy.
Oh... That's the only thing he didn't get rid of.
Yeah.
He didn't have to sell when he went bankrupt or something, which I actually didn't know about, but...
Yeah,
Fun fact. He sold a couple of his Louisiana houses.
Yeah, walked past one of his old houses just to...
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure we are in, like, voodoo land, aren't we?
Voodoo land, yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to see a couple more voodoo
things.
Well,
I want to go to that shop. I think you should go and get a spell.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm tempted. There were some people doing fortune-telling readings outside the road. It's a scam, isn't it, for tourists? But then I'm a mark, aren't I?
No, I think we should go into that weird shop. It looks...
I met that woman who was yesterday just placing crystals on cards, talking to the woman outside the road.
You could do that if you wanted.
Well, I could do.
I think we should.
The thing is,
go.
I don't want to, but I feel like it's my job because the podcast. Like, well, I better do that weird thing.
Go and get a spell instead.
Voodoo shops, obviously I'll have a look in some of them. I know it's tourism, but, you know, as if I'm not going to look in a big shop with a skull on the door. What else? We were thinking that there's like a Louisiana ghost tour.
We're
thinking of
cool.
doing that, either tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm either going to get enough stuff to make this a mini episode.
I'll just tack it on.
Or I'm going to tack it on to the next Ghost Stories episode, which is what I did of our Portland stuff.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So, we'll see. But at the moment... It's lovely weather here.
It's too hot to be spooky.
It is blooming hot. Apparently it's been raining for the last 2 weeks. We got here the day it started getting hot again, and now it is roasting.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're down in New Orleans. Been here a couple of days. It's middle of September right now.
Yeah.
2022 for you listening in the future. We're sitting in City Park. It's
under the dueling oaks.
It's a beautiful
mini train.
Here comes a little train.
Tiny land train.
Oh, there he goes.
Wait.
We're near Café du Monde in the park.
Oh, do you want to get on?
No.
No.
I think we're too big to get on.
Parents have to take their children. Just borrow one of those kids.
And for geography fans, I'll make it quick. Because well, travel fans, because this isn't necessarily spooky. Been hitting all the foods. Obviously, I'm in New Orleans, so it's all about the foods.
We ticked off a lot yesterday.
So yesterday we had beignets, we had etouffee, we had gumbo, we had barbecue shrimp, we had muffalada, or the vegetarian version. And that's Bob Shoy signing off. Weirdos in New Orleans. Boop, boop. They love that, don't they? There's a classroom of children having a lesson in the park
who are
very excited by that train. Chasing after it.
School cancelled.
Oh, teacher's trying to call them back. Just lost the class.
They're just running off the lantern.
Anyway, we're hitting all the foods. We're going to go get some po' boys for lunch, and but I'll keep you updated with food stuff and with and with spooky stuff. Yeah. So we just left our hotel, and we're heading over to Bourbon Street, which is not far at
it's
all.
Like 2 blocks.
It's 2 minutes. Yeah. 2 minutes to Bourbon Street, famous Bourbon Street on in New Orleans. And we're on our way. We sort of spent all afternoon drinking in a beer garden.
Yeah.
After a big fat po' boy that destroyed us.
It's like a massive sandwich.
We only got one between us. Large. We're like, yeah, let's have one large between us.
It's like
a side of fried pickles, and it absolutely destroyed us. Anyway, so we had a big po' boy for lunch, and it killed us. And fried pickle, large po' boy killed us. Anyway, unwound in a beer garden, which we were just popping in for a beer. I ended up spending all afternoon there because it was shady. It's so hot here today. While we were sitting having our beers in the beer garden, we said, should we do a ghost walk tonight? Should we do a ghost tour?
Walk we did yesterday with like the same company, and they do voodoo walks as well, so we might do that one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Ghost walk tonight.
So what I'm saying is, at the time, it felt like a good idea to do a ghost walk, and now we're exhausted and we're like, okay, better chuck ourselves out and do this ghost walk. What I'm saying is, we're on our way to a ghost walk.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to record on it. It's kind of uncouth to record on someone else's ghost walk.
Yeah.
But like the walk we did yesterday, that we tried to remember some stuff from earlier, I'll try and remember as much as I can from this.
Yeah.
It's a 2-hour long ghost walk. And I'll report back, probably not later, but we're on Bourbon Street now, by the way. Probably not later, but probably tomorrow. It's already kicking off here. It's not even, it's 7:30. A little bit of Bourbon Street ambiance for you. It's Thursday night on Bourbon Street. Hey, just got back to our hotel after walking around the ghost tour with Andrew. And I'm not going to go into it all now. We'll talk about it tomorrow, some of the bits and bobs. But I will give you a little teaser. I almost fainted.
That's scary,
isn't it? Becca, did I almost faint?
It was really scary, actually.
On the tour, or am I fainting?
No, like, you fainting.
It was not scary for me.
I just turned around, like, we were out the side of the road listening to the tour guide, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, wandering off, basically. Turns out you're basically like stumbling down the street trying to find a place to almost be sick.
Mm.
Then I was like, okay, maybe you're just, I don't know, feeling a bit weird because the story is like gruesome.
It was pretty full on, yeah.
I didn't know that you were feeling very overcome by like faint and sick. And then you came and like literally kind of just almost collapsed and sat down like right next to me. I was like, what the hell?
Sat on the sidewalk.
Yeah, listening to guy like talking about this house on the corner.
Yeah.
Horrific goings on there.
We'll go into it tomorrow, but yeah, a little bit of a teaser.
You looked really like white, like a sheet.
I looked like a ghost.
Yeah.
Looked like I'd seen a ghost.
Yeah, it was pretty grim.
And the tour guide, Andrew.
Yeah.
He saw me sitting down. I think he just thought I was taking a break.
Yeah.
And he said, after he said, so when the building he was talking about, he said, oh, we're going to walk past a bit closer, just so you know, some people feel very faint when they come near this building.
Yeah. You'd already done it.
And I'd already bloody beaten to it, didn't I?
Yeah. He was like, did you feel, like when we spoke to
I told him after, I said I felt, I said, when you said about feeling faint, I said I felt faint there.
He was like, normally people feel faint in the door. He's like, caught a woman from like falling over, kind of feeling like fainting.
And he said, like, I said to him, I don't normally feel that way. I don't, no. I felt fine going on the tour.
Yeah.
I haven't been.
It was really sudden.
Yeah, really sudden. Dripping with cold sweat. Absolutely, like my body expelled so much liquid in one go. Like, yeah, I don't know what the hell. And he said, yeah, whenever people say it happens to them, they always say that they haven't been drinking. They haven't been, I mean, we had a couple of drinks this afternoon, but no, we didn't get like drunk. Like,
that was hours ago.
He said, yeah, they always say it like you do, like they don't normally overcome by that stuff. They haven't been drinking. They just they're not overly hot. It was like a kind of a coolish evening, well, cool for here, warm for England, but cool for here evening. Just in a loose shirt. So, and then I felt fine afterwards. When we got off the street and walking down the main street, I felt fine.
Yeah, just overcome.
Just a wave bizarre. Of
nausea.
Very
stuff.
Bizarre. But yeah, we'll talk about it more tomorrow.
Yeah.
That man, a little bit mysterious. Do you remember anything from the ghost tour last night? Because I've got some notes on my phone. And I didn't just want to rip off this guy's tour. Let's have a look. And my notes are very sparse.
Right.
Yeah. I've written Axeman.
Axeman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like a murderer.
Not Exma.
He was a murderer guy. He killed a lot of people.
With an axe?
Yeah, with an axe.
Broke into the houses.
Broke into the houses with and killed them with axe and they never found him.
Right. Yeah, again, we're not going into full detail of this because I'm not going to, like, rip off other people's material.
Yeah, that was, like, 100 years ago.
But that was one of them.
Yeah.
There was the... this is the one I remember better. There was a restaurant.
Yeah.
And they used to put...
It was, like, a patron. He was, like, a famous vaudeville actor.
So this is... Oh, okay, a long time ago. Early star of the silver screen.
Mm.
Can't remember the actual guy's name. He was famous for being a woman impersonator, as they were called then.
Yeah.
And they had a picture of him on the wall.
Well, he liked them so much, he came back again and again to this family-owned restaurant that he, like, signed a photo for them. And
yes.
Maybe that was, like, a rare thing.
But when they...
a privileged thing.
When they did the place up, by that time, no one really knew who he was anymore.
So they took the picture
off the wall and put it in the loft, the attic. And... and then years later, when the next generation, so it's like generations of people taking over along the family line. So the third generation start doing it up again, and they find that picture in the loft, and they're like, don't know who this guy is.
They leave it in the loft.
But they leave it there. And the picture is him, it's just like a two, because we saw the picture, and it's him in like his suit, and then next to it, there's a picture of him in all the get-up.
Yeah.
Looking like a woman.
Nowadays, he would be like drag.
That's what the tour guy said. He's like basically an old version of a drag performer.
Yeah.
Very flamboyant.
Yeah.
But then this couple, and this was
ages after they'd kind of put the photo away.
And then the other picture he showed us was only from like 2015 or something like that. It was only from like 10 years ago. But this couple were eating in the restaurant.
They took a selfie.
And they took a selfie, and there was someone standing behind them in the picture. And they asked the staff, what's this about?
Yeah.
And the staff member took it to the owner.
And the owner
was like, I recognise that.
Have like a kind of inkling about
it. Yeah, I recognise that person in that picture. And it was the same, it was this guy.
They like went upstairs to dig through all the photos and old pictures and stuff that they took down and found the sign.
Yeah, he was like, I've seen that person somewhere before. And it was the guy in this get up as a woman.
Yeah.
And
it was a really, we saw the picture, we saw like
he both. Showed us both pictures, yeah.
And it was really weird because it was like, it was like you'd imagine a ghost, like you could see through the ghost head to like someone behind it, like sitting behind them kind of thing. It was in profile. It was a bit different from the actual like portrait photo that he like signed and gave them. They were obviously in a different outfit or whatever. It looked like there was more of like a veil.
Yeah, well, you listeners know how I feel about these ghost pictures. It looks like one of your standard ghost pictures to me, and I'm just never convinced by them. I'm like, okay, I guess kind of our brains are trained to see faces and things. Yes, it's kind of a coincidence that it kind of looks like
that person.
That's why someone on the tour said has this been doctored, has it been faked? And he said, well, it would, how would they know that they had this picture of that person in the loft? This star that like no one's ever heard of anymore.
Yeah, but I think,
but I'm like, for me, saying it looked like the actor was kind of a reach. Some people on the tour were looking at it going, oh my god, it's the same person. And I was like, kind of.
It sort of could have been anyone, anyone from that period. And also, like, nothing.
But it makes a cool story, doesn't it? All these things make a cool story.
Nothing bad happened to that vaudeville actor in the actual restaurant, so, like, no one died, no one was, like, murdered or whatever, no one was, like, trapped anywhere, or, like weird stuff where spirits kind of get attached to this place. He just, like, signed a photo, left it with them, and then, like, three generations later decided to, like, turn up and haunt the place. Very bizarre, kind of.
And now the place is closed down, they've relocated.
Yes.
And they're wondering whether they haven't seen the ghost again, but there's the debate whether he haunts that building, is tied to that building,
or
he's or the family, and he's moved to the new location. So they try and encourage people to take pictures when they're dining to see if anything shows up. So is that, I haven't made a note of all ones, just the ones I remembered.
They didn't, it wasn't like a, it was literally just that one time, I think, that they
It was only the one time he showed up.
Oh,
Muriel's. This was a good one. There's a restaurant called Muriel's.
Yeah.
And that's haunted. And it's a long story. Again, all these, I'm not going to go over, because you really should go on one of these ghost tours if you're ever in New Orleans.
Yeah, that was really good, actually.
But the thing about Muriel's is the person that haunts it is
an active, like, not poltergeisty type thing, but, like, they're actively mischievous.
Does knock over plates and stuff. Yeah. So now, to stop his naughty behaviour, and there's a lot more history to this as to why that person's haunted or whatever. The place is haunted on who it is. But anyway, they set a table with a glass of wine and a slice of bread to appease that
spirit.
So they've always got a place at the restaurant.
Yeah. You can actually dine with it.
But they, if you want, you can eat at that table.
Yeah.
But you can't sit in that seat.
And
if you eat there, you have to pay. The cause is, if you want to sit at his table, you've got to pay for his wine, his glass of wine.
Would you drink it?
And it's, you know, there was the guy on the tour was asking, like, you know, if it was you and you've paid for that wine anyway to sit at that table, would you drink it? And it was about 20 of us on the tour, and
there was some consensus at the table. You can see, like, you can look through the window
and see them,
and it's like cordoned off in the back, like a little table, like private table. Some people sit dining there, weren't they, last night?
There was a another hotel in town, but it was, the building next to it was an old hospital,
a Civil War hospital, right?
And but it was specialised in amputations.
Yeah.
So it was full. They were cutting off arms and legs basically every day.
Yeah.
But the whole street stunk of burnt flesh the time. So what they would do is
they would burn the
limbs,
yeah.
But they would, to stop it
smelling
the smoke, basically, they had to only burn them once a week eventually.
So they had a limb storeroom.
Yeah, so they just stored the limbs on premises for a week and then would burn them once a week.
Yeah.
But now
those rooms are like next door, and like, because it used to be one big building, but it's like split, and the second half of the building is a hotel.
Yes.
And that's where they had the furnace
storage
and the storeroom.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where some stories have come up about
Well, people who stay in those rooms, which would have been in the same location as the storage,
yeah,
have claimed like waking up in the night and fumbling around in the dark and
tripping over something,
turning the light on and not being there.
Yeah.
And basically, it's ghost limbs, isn't it? They said they felt like a hand grabbed their ankle and tripped them over.
What?
As they've gone around in the night. It's had multiple reports of that. That's quite a cool story, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, man. But it's really expensive. That hotel's very pricey.
Now they charge a lot to stay there because people want to stay in haunted places.
Yeah.
There was a horrific story, which I'm not going to go into.
That's the one that made you feel...
Which is the one that made me faint. But it's basically in the days of slavery. She's one of the most notorious slave owners for how she mistreated her slaves. And
it was gruesome.
Really, it wasn't a ghost story, it was just a brutal, like, this woman's one of the most horrific things I've ever heard.
Sadistic.
Basically, she just tortured them for fun. She would tie her slaves up in the attic and torture them. And when they found them, the state they're in, oh, it was turning my stomach. And I'm wondering, maybe that's just what we made feel faint, because I was just like, this is
brutal.
One of the most horrific treatments of humans I've ever heard of. You know what, I can't remember the name of the woman or the building, but I will insert it now, once I've done my research in the edit.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in it, search it, because if you like your true crime stuff, it's probably up your alley. But I found this stomach churning.
And if you're in New Orleans, then yeah. Oh, and Nick Cage kind of accidentally...
Nick Cage accidentally bought that house years later. And didn't understand why tour groups were outside it. He thought someone had tipped him off, like, this is Nick Cage's house. And when he complained to the tour guides, they were like, no, you should really do your research on the house you bought. It's very, very famous.
Yeah.
So the woman I'm talking about in that clip you just heard is a woman named Delphine LaLaurie. And I just went on the Wikipedia to find her. Went for by a few other names as well. So Marie Delphine McCarthy or McCarthy. She lived from 1787 to 1849 and was more commonly known as Madame Blanc or, after her third marriage, as Madame LaLaurie. And she was a New Orleans socialite and serial killer who tortured and murdered slaves in her household. Yeah, so some pretty queasy stories. I think plenty of the true crime podcasts have talked about her. I think she's probably been featured in different TV series here and there. She's quite a famous figure of New Orleans. But if you're not familiar with her and you've got a strong stomach and want to hear some of that stuff that made me feel pretty queasy, then look her up, Delphine LaLaurie.
And then the only other one I made a note of from the tour was, it was another hotel, a lot of haunted hotels around, but it was, it's haunted kids. By children, yeah.
Kids, yeah, because it used to be an old boys' home.
Oh, is that what it was? I missed that part.
Yeah. So it used to be an old boys' home, and they've had people reportedly, like, they're quite mischievous, they said.
They hide things.
They hide things. People like tickling your feet at night.
They turn
stuff.
The telly on, and it's always on, like, kids programming, especially SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, and quite mischievous with, like, cameras and stuff. They said one couple in the 90s had, like, a little couple of shots left on the end of their roll of film,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, when they got them developed.
Well, they said they had two pictures left to take on their film.
Yeah.
And then when they picked up their camera
the next day
to take a couple
more
pictures.
This was like early 90s, so it's film.
They went to take a couple, to use up the last two shots. They're like, oh, we must have taken them. And then they just changed the role.
Didn't think anything of it. Got them developed like a month or so later. And the last two photos of them on that roll were of them like at night sleeping.
There's pictures of them sleeping.
And they were like really creeped out, but the photos were taken from the perspective of the ceiling.
Yeah, from directly above them.
Which is kind of like obviously impossible for anybody to do without like treading on them in the night. And,
well, here's
like,
the thing.
Stuff.
Who knows how true any of these stories are, like all ghost stories, because there's no one seen these photos.
No, yeah.
The guy who, the woman sent them to the owner of the hotel saying like, what the fuck?
Obviously basically. You wouldn't, yeah, I understand. Like, you
so he has them.
Photos of your guests, sleeping guests, would you?
Yeah, again, allegedly the owner of the hotel has these photos. And allegedly if you get chatting to him on a night out and he's drunk, he might go like, check this out. But he can't have the reputation of showing around
like
pictures
of it,
his guests asleep.
But that, I guess, on the other hand, it perpetuates the...
Exactly. It's like...
Oh, there's also reports of them, like, kids, like, running around and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
people sleeping
them
on the top floor without any floor above them and stuff, like...
And hearing children
really
run around, footsteps of kids running around playing. So, yeah, it was a really cool ghost tour. It was provided by Free Tours by Foot.
Yeah.
New Orleans. They're great. We've done two tours of them. We're actually doing a third one today because they've been so good. We wanted to do some more. They're very knowledgeable.
Their
so
YouTube is great as well.
If you're ever in New Orleans, we definitely recommend doing some of their tours. We did the Garden District tour.
That was really good.
Which was great.
Some famous houses.
We did the Ghost tour.
That was last night.
Was great. And we're about to go on the Voodoo tour.
Yeah.
Which is the one I'm excited probably most about.
Yeah, I know it's only like, we're not doing it at night or anything, it's not a scary one.
No, we got
like
the boat, it's the only slot available, so it's 10 a.m, we're going to go on this voodoo tour, and we'll report back about some voodoo, because I'm interested, I know nothing about voodoo, I just know New Orleans, famous for voodoo stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard of stuff, I've heard of like, you know, voodoo practices and witch doctors and Grigri and things like that, but I want to know...
What's the deal?
Yeah. What is it? Why is it?
Well,
Is it just shysters?
Yeah, or is it, I don't know, some of their weird like burial practices and stuff because they couldn't bury people in the ground and... Well, we spoke about that yesterday from the Garden District. That's why all the tombs are above ground and all that stuff. And
but we're going to go and meet...
Yeah, the cultural history of it.
We're going to go and meet Voodoo Priest in St. Louis Park now and report back later. But yeah, like I say, I've been a bit... skirting around some of the finer details and stuff of the Ghost Tour, because I don't want to just like repeat this guy's tour.
Yeah,
it's well worth visiting if you're in New Orleans. I definitely recommend it. And let us know if you feel faint.
There was lots of ghost tours in New Orleans, so don't feel like if you don't get on the free walking tours by foot one that you've missed out, because there was a lot of other ones going
on. We went on it because we'd watched some stuff on their YouTube channel.
We'd already been on one of their
tours. Good reputation, and we enjoyed their other tour.
But
so they got the Weird Tales Seal of Quality. But there's plenty of ghost tours. But yeah, that's the one I recommend.
And I think they do different stuff as well. So we did see like a couple of other groups at a couple of the spots. Obviously, like the really famous,
they've got their own spin on the stories.
Yeah, of course, and like other tidbits and stuff they can share with you and things like that. So.
But free tours by foot. Like you say, you just reserve online for free. I like a lot of these walking tours, and then when you
turn up, you pay what you feel it's worth.
They don't take more than 20 people. Yeah. So once it's full, it's full, and you just pay at the end. So
pay what you feel.
We saw some people giving nothing, which is a bit of a piss take, but
it's like,
you know, it's free
tours. Almost like 2 hour.
But we saw someone on the Garden District tour give about $80, so you know, they're cut. I guess those rich people are covering it for the people who ain't got much.
Yeah, it's fair, isn't it?
But let's go see some voodoo stuff though.
Yeah,
hopefully I won't faint this time.
I'll keep you posted.
I mean, was it me feeling faint last night? And when I say I felt faint, I was just overcome. I went cold, white like a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm not someone who sweats a lot. The amount of liquid that came out of my body in the space of about 20 seconds was unbelievable. I was slick. My whole skin was just wet.
And we've been walking around all day and you haven't been like that.
Been fine.
Like drenched.
It was so hot all day and it was getting cool in the evening. I had a loose shirt on, like I said last night.
Mm.
I was just wandering around fine, and then as soon as we got outside that house, I think it was a combination of like tired, been walking all day. We didn't have dinner because we had such a massive lunch, but I was not hungry at all.
No.
And it was just such a gruesome story. It wasn't gruesome. I wasn't scared. Like the ghost, it was a ghost story. I was just like sickening. Horrified that someone could do this to another human being.
It was just awful. Like
it was some of the worst treatment of a human being I've ever heard, and it made me go like. Cold at how horrible it was.
This woman, one of her slaves who was chained to the oven, started a fire, and this is how they discovered everything else. But she started a fire and almost like died in the fire that she created because she didn't
want to be taken to the attic.
Upstairs, yeah.
When they broke into the attic,
can you imagine how awful situation? I would rather die in a fire than be.
I'm not going to go into all the details, but some of the stuff from the people in the attic, we're talking like flayed pieces of skin, sewn up lips so you can't hear them screaming. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
So she got, she fled actually.
Yeah.
Her and her husband fled. They never caught them. But the slaves that had all been like tortured and stuff, obviously I don't know how much you could recover from that. But like,
some of the stuff they said, I don't think you're recovering very
well
from.
They had them recovered enough to be resold after a year.
Jesus. What a time.
Absolutely. Oh, God.
So anyway, that stuff just... I mean, slavery stuff makes me feel kind of queasy anyway.
ownership of any human.
Yeah, it's
just so wrong.
It's not as far away as you think. It's not as long ago as you think it is.
Yeah,
and that's what
is terrifying.
That's what scares me. Like humans, ability for cruelty.
Yeah,
I can't get my head around it. But anyway, that was kind of the less spooky side, but more just horrific side of that tour. And the details get pretty grisly.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go get some cash. Let's go get some voodoo, and let's go get some pralines.
Yeah. Get some sun cream on then.
All right, okay, let's go.
Now it's time for y'all to do a little practicing of your own. If you have any coins, any pennies, nickels, or dimes, and you would like to say a prayer to your own individual ancestors.
Not any.
Now's the time to do it. If you don't have a coin, it is not sacrilegious to pick one up off the ground and say your prayer. We throw money on the ground so y'all can pick it up and say your prayer. And if you don't believe me, let me do it right now. If you can pick it up and say your prayer. Once you're done, just meet me right there. Now, if you have Native American blood in your veins from North or South America, you do not have a choice. You have to do this. If you have African blood in your veins, I don't care if it's 1% or 2%. Remember, those parents have parents and grandparents black. You have to do this. Here's the one that's going to shock some of y'all. If you have Irish, Scottish ancestry in your blood, you do not have a choice. You have to do this. This is your birthright. I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes. Mic drop. Once you're done, meet me right there by my CD, and then we'll go on and do this. We'll talk about the Irish and Scottish.
What are you doing?
Something coming in. It's not how it works. Did a voodoo ritual.
Yeah. Cool.
Now let's go and wash this blood off us. Hello. I don't know how noisy this is going to be, but I'll get a little bit with the ambiance. We're just having some lunch in the French Quarter Market in New Orleans. Still. And this morning we went on a voodoo tour.
Yeah.
With Priest Roby. All around Armstrong Park and a little bit of the surrounding area, and it was really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really hard to talk about all the stuff he went through because
there's a lot.
It was very interesting. I feel like I learned a lot about like black history and stuff in this area.
Slave trade.
And also a lot about how
African religion and
being
brought over, and how and like similarities and differences, and like kind of the slave owners and stuff trying to convert, and they're like, there's so much similarities here, and also like our different culture.
It's not something I feel like I'm qualified to go into. But it was very interesting. And what I wanted from a voodoo tour, from England, I know nothing about voodoo.
Yeah.
I've heard it. I've heard of voodoo dolls.
You obviously get like the cliched.
I've seen it in media.
Yeah.
I've heard of sacrifices. I know New Orleans is like the home of voodoo. So I thought, while I'm here, let's learn what this is.
Yeah.
And I felt like we got the perfect host because he is from a bloodline of voodoo practitioners. He's a priest, and he was no bullshit.
It was so good.
Very flamboyant character. I tried to get a little bit of recording on the tour. I don't know how much of it will come through, but he explained to me, because I was always had an inkling like, okay, is voodoo kind of bullshit? Is it like a media thing?
It's propaganda.
To a certain extent, he was telling us the seed of truth that media exaggeration came from.
But it was perpetuated by like slave owners, like not really understanding what's happening, and then just like kind of propaganda and like vilifying like the slaves, so that
wasn't in the Bible. If you're a slave owner, your slaves, the rule came in, they have to worship God.
It continues to keep them separate.
Yes. But so anything that wasn't in the Bible was considered devil worship. doesn't matter if it was someone else's belief, someone else's religion, blah, blah, blah. They see it as devil worship.
Misunderstanding and also just, like, absolutely, like, vilifying slaves and their, like, practice of their religion.
Yeah, and voodoo dolls, not a thing.
Like, no, that was really interesting.
Yeah, the
really
voodoo doll thing, he said that's more like an English thing, like an English witchcraft thing that they just put onto...
Wax figurines.
Yeah, they push that on in the media, onto, like, voodoo practitioners. And really, the actual dolls with the pins in is a thing that voodoo practitioners use, but that was more...
For healing.
If for healing, it was like they had a patient who would come in who had a headache. They would make a doll that looked like that patient because they couldn't read or write, put a pin in the head, so the next time they came in, they could be like, pin in the head, oh, you had a pain in your head, okay.
It's like doctor's notes.
Yeah, he said they couldn't read or write, so this is a doctor's note, this is prescriptions.
Yeah.
And they just mix that up with the wax figurines from English witchcraft.
Putting
and,
pins in it and for like, yeah.
And then, you know, the legend sort of perpetuates itself through media and things, and he compared to like the way voodoo was portrayed in American Horror Story, which is a really popular series.
Yeah.
And he said that's nothing like it. And the way that Mary Laveau is portrayed in those things, he said really, no one really knows anything about her. All the stuff you see about that famous voodoo character is all from fiction.
Yeah.
She was just, you know, someone who managed to get a lot of information on the slave owners.
She was a
and
gossip
things.
Queen.
Basically, yeah,
a
gossip queen.
Hairstylist
who got information from the
slave owners
on behalf of the slaves
and also the slave community.
Yeah.
She was like a go-between, and she gathered lots of gossip and basically just had leverage on loads of like slave owners.
Like he said, for an example, she would do the women's hair when they gathered together. Well, she's seen as a piece of the furniture because she's a slave, and so she's and all the women are gathered
up.
Together, all the slave owners. And the slave owners' wives, they all gathered together gossiping, not thinking this woman's listening, gathering
sharing
information.
Their secrets.
And then she's considered as this witch who knows everything. And
psychic.
It's like, no, she's just gathering information and spreading it amongst the slave community because information is power.
Using it for her benefit.
Like as Roby said, you know, you gather some dirt on people and you can build mountains out of dirt.
Yeah.
And so very interesting tour, and
really
if
cool.
you are interested in learning the truth behind voodoo, that's just the tip of the iceberg, the stuff that we can remember off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
And you're in New Orleans, I definitely would recommend Priest Roby's voodoo tour, which
really
is
good.
He's the only guy on the free tours by foot who has his name on the tour because it's all from him.
And
this
he's
is his
the,
own. This
the
his
only
own.
Voodoo practitioner who's actually giving tours.
And
he
he's.
Said.
Only the only male voodoo priest in New Orleans.
Giving tours, yeah.
So, giving tours, so that,
He's, cool.
He has massive family, a lot of family history in New Orleans.
I think we met half of them on the
Everyone who walked past, he was like, oh, that's my cousin, that's this, that's that. Huge family.
Lot of history.
Lot of history, very interesting guy. And he does not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want...
misconceptions.
Yeah.
Racism, etc., etc.
Basically, when you start the door, he's like, anyone who's, like, racist, anti, like, LGBT community and stuff, get off the tour.
Yeah.
I don't want your money.
We're done.
Yeah. a real character. Yeah, so fully recommended. Really interesting morning. And now, yeah, like I said, we're just sat in the market now waiting for some red beans and rice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, well, that's our debrief. I'll put links and stuff in the show notes, obviously, for all these tours. They've all been great. And the three tours we did by Free Tours by Foot were
really, really good.
All completely different in flavour. Like, Roby had, like, Creole heritage, and the guy, Andrew, who did the tour last night, was Cajun.
Yeah.
And then the guy who did the tour, Matthew, the day before that, grew up in and around New Orleans, so he knew all about the Garden District and the local stuff, local food, he knew all about that. They all really know their stuff.
They're
really
such a good length
history.
As well. It's like
1.5 to 2 hours.
Yeah, really, really good.
Yeah.
Not too crazy walking distance wise.
You pay a fiver optionally to book the tour, to reserve your seat, which just based for their admin costs and
that's
online basically.
Well.
And that's a 2 PBA, so it's $2.50 each, and then you pay what you want at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Really so. Enjoyed it.
But fully recommended.
I think you should try and get him on.
I would love to get Priest Roby on Weird Tales because I don't feel like we'll ever do a voodoo episode because I don't feel like we're qualified with the information. I'm going to ruin it. I probably ruined some of the stuff I just said, getting on a future episode. But yeah, I'll try and reach out to him, see if he wants to jump on the show, because very interesting guy.
Yeah.
And like I said, a real character.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our voodoo tour debrief.
So before that voodoo tour debrief section, you heard a little clip of us doing the little mini voodoo ritual with Priest Roby. I did try and do a little bit of recording during the hour and a half, 2 hours we spent with him, but it's kind of hard to pick up some stuff. So I'm just going to chuck in a few minutes of some of the audio that I captured here, so you can have a little taste of Voodoo Priest Roby's walk. And like I said, I definitely recommend doing so if you're in New Orleans. It was really interesting.
Who is St. Peter? He says St. Peter stands at the gates of heaven. He carries keys right here. Sometimes they pick this up in a cane. When you die, you cannot enter the gates of heaven without going to St. Peter himself. We're confused. Sounds like our African Haitian Loa. His name, Papa Legba. If you speak Spanish, Papa Alegua. Some of y'all know Papa Legba's name. If you've seen American Horror Story Coven, you definitely know the name. Because they turned a man into a baby-eating, cocaine-snorting Jamaican with a white face, glowing red eyes, and dreadlocks. In real life, he's none of those things. First of all, he's that grandfather that likes to spoil the grandchildren. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know how granddaddy always let the grandchildren get away with murder? Grandchildren can do no harm in granddaddy's eyes? That's Legba. He is a very kind and warm and kind spirit. Loves to spoil children. And he's old. The man's so old, he crippled. All his fingers are curled up like this, his neck turned to the side, and he carries a cane. He carries keys right here, and he stands at the gates of freedom. Again, the spoiler of children opens the doors of opportunity. And whenever you die, you cannot enter the gates of freedom without going through Legba himself. I think that's enough. I gotta talk about the oranges because those are so brightly colored. Look how bright they are. These, of course, are, you see, like neighbor oranges. Well, they're not neighbor oranges. I don't know what kind these are. But these are left to the river spirit by the name of Oshun. In Haiti, her name is Met Azene Freda. She is the spirit of love, drumming, and dance associated with the colors yellow and orange. So we do leave her orange and yellow things. Plantain, we leave her oranges, lemon. We also leave her lots and lots of honey because she's said to be a sweet river spirit. Me and her don't get along because she's so damn bougie. You ever met a bougie woman before?
So it's my last morning in New Orleans. And I thought, I'm heading to a voodoo shop. I had a look in some yesterday. And I was sort of put off all the chintz of it because of High Priest Roby's warnings. But in the end, I thought I'm going to cave and buy something because I'm sure they've got stuff I can use for the podcast. So let's go and have a look. We're going to Voodoo Authentica. Right, let's head in. Busy. No, Roby said don't buy a voodoo doll. So I'm not. But I'm gonna buy some spells. They sell voodoo spells. I can test them out on the pod.
Right.
No.
I think I'll get away from a gator claw.
No, don't buy that.
No.
It's there's just herbs in this room, isn't it?
I think like they make up stuff for you.
Yeah, this is like an apothecary.
Yeah.
I'm going to the other room. Right, I'm in the back room now. And there are envelopes full of spells and formulas in sealed, wax sealed. With, see, I can... I mean, there's one that's calling out to me straight away, which says it will help me develop psychic powers. We've also got enemy be gone, fertility, gambling, love and friendship, healing, get the job. Money, good luck and success, peace and protection, power and confidence, unhexing, spiritual cleansing, and win in court. I mean, it's got to be developed psychic powers in it. Take weird tales to the next level. What's that?
It's a ritual cleansing bar.
Ooh.
This one's to Oshun.
How much?
Spirit of love and affection. Not sure. But this might be a good gift.
Here we go, this is what I've got, some herbal scents. There's a rack of herbal scents that will help in my rituals if I give them a go. So cleansing, purification, house blessing. They come with like a shell, you light the stuff in the shell. What else have we got? giving thanks, making offerings, peace of mind, inner calm. I think I might need that one if I'm developing a psychic. I might need to calm my brain. Or do I want to attract good influence? I'm getting one of these for my ritual.
Yeah,
you burn them inside the shell.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good actually.
Attract good influence. I'm thinking, what do I want if I'm trying to try and develop my psychic powers?
Right, okay.
I don't care about cleansing the house.
Yeah, no. Attracts good influence. What's that for?
I was thinking about inner cut, like peace of mind, because this is not the same. This isn't for burning. This is you put it in the bag and smell it.
Right, okay.
Offering. Unless I double bubble, unless I get one of them, smell it, burn something.
What about that? Using ceremony as offering. Ceremony.
That's tobacco. Okay. Again, it's not the same.
Attracts good influence.
I think maybe good influence.
Or giving
offering,
thanks.
Giving thanks, giving offering, and making an offering.
Yeah, I think maybe offering is a good
Let's
one.
Let's have a look. Pinch out, offering. Thanks to spirit keepers, six directions, Mother Earth.
Yeah. Used for smudging. That's probably good.
Well, this one's got rose and lavender, so that's not bad.
That sounds great.
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, okay.
Rose and lavender for cleansing and purification.
Yeah. Right, got it.
Right, let's head back.
Yeah. Thank you,
bye-bye. Thank you. There we go, I've got it. I've got,
spell?
I got some spells, spells and formulas to develop psychic powers, and I got some
like
stuff
smugging,
to burn,
smudging,
cleansing. I'm going to cleanse my mind, cleanse the area, and try and become a psychic. And like I say, if it works, then you know, Weird Towers is really going to go step up to another level.
Yeah. We got can offer more service.
Bona fide psychic. Oh. Bonafide voodoo psychic on the show. I was very tempted to get one of the Grigri bags, but you know, I've only got so much money.
Yeah. I mean, start slow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But then I want a leg up. I want everything I can. I'm going to come out of one of them masks, yeah. Everything. I don't know how offensive that is, how culturally offensive. If I come out wearing like a bag and like beads all over myself and that. Am I appropriate in a culture? But then, as Roby said yesterday, it's already been appropriated because it's kind of not the real deal. Yeah. But we'll see. I'll give it a go. Open-minded. I'll record my adventures either on this episode or another. Probably another one. I'd like to get Beef and Tiss in the room. It depends. I'll have to talk to Beef, see if he's like, no, not doing that stuff.
Yeah. He wasn't keen on you doing the Ouija board, was he?
He did not like me doing the Ouija board.
But this is voodoo, it's different.
So, like I say, it's our last day. We're walking back to our hotel to pick up our bags. And, yeah, we're just walking through past Jackson Square. All the artists are there. It's really busy because it's a Saturday. And what is this? Is it, what is this? What cathedral is this? St. Louis Cathedral. I'm sure it is. The big one.
This is where we met our ghost.
The big famous cathedral. We're walking past it right now. So if you know New Orleans, you can picture where I am.
Quick reading?
I would have a quick palm reading, but I just don't think I've got enough time now. I've left it too late.
Yeah. 98% accurate.
I'll be in that 2%, wouldn't I? You know it.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's been a lovely few days. It's a mad place. It's a mad, mad place.
Yeah. It's an assault on the senses, but in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, hats off to anyone who lives here. It's mad. I've been here a few days, and it's awesome.
Showtime!
See, there's always something.
You can tell by the song.
I was saying, they've been doing...
I was saying, anything can happen at any time.
I don't think
there's anything more to say. He's cut me off in the most New Orleans way possible. It's mad.
Right, so now you're with me back in my flat in Leeds, and I've got my little paper bag from the voodoo shop, and I'm going to dig into it. I haven't actually looked into this at all,
So let's have a look. So first of all, I've got these herbal scents for cleansing and purification. And this is a blend of white sage, lavender, and rose. So in the packet, I'm just going to open it now. So yeah, in here we have a shell. I'm going to take out now, which is there. And what it says is I need to put a pinch of this mix into the shell, ignite it, and gently blow or fan with a feather upon the glowing ember to produce smoke. And I guess that is going to that's going to purify and cleanse me or the area and the area. I don't know, but I'll try that in a second. I've also got this envelope here, which says magical spells and formulas to develop psychic powers. And it's got a wax seal. And I'll take a picture of these so you can, people who follow on Twitter or Facebook can see these. So let's open the envelope. So inside is another envelope with a cool seal with moon and the heart and some snakes on it. Open that envelope as well. And in that, okay, so there's a piece of paper that says Voodoo Authentica New Orleans. And let's see what it says. So there's two pieces of paper in here. So the first says, the power of magic is real. It is around us, within us, and available to everyone. The most important ingredient in your magical work, spells, won't ever be an herb or a candle. It will be your desire, your ability to focus on and creatively visualize your goal. So be sure to pour some of yourself and your precious energy into every spell you do. And most importantly, don't give up. Your patience and commitment will be well rewarded by the results you achieve. Note, magic functions universally and is not subject to the rules of any particular religion or spiritual path. If you are a religious or spiritual person, feel free to incorporate your belief system into your magic if you find this empowers you. This is not, however, a necessary component of successful magic. So if you are not religious or spiritual, simply call on your own personal power and energy to achieve your goal. The main rule in magic is, as long as you harm no one, do what feels right to you. 3 exclamation marks after that one. Yes, another note. Extra information on the colour, planet, offering, etc., which coincide with your purpose are given, so that you may incorporate these elements into your magical work if you so desire. Be creative. Example, dress yourself in the appropriate coloured clothing. Offer the item suggested as a sign of devotion or thanksgiving to a higher power. Use an altar cloth of one of the given colours. Carry some of the listed herbs around with you, in a conjure bag. You get the idea. When your wish has been granted, be sure to thank the universe for the blessings you have received. We wish you luck, wisdom, and blessings in your magical pursuits. And there's a quote at the bottom, I don't know who it's from, it says, and it harm none, do what thou will. So then, that's the general notes, and then after, as well, we also have the information to develop psychic powers. So let's see. I should do this on a Saturday, it says. Colours purple, blue and white. See, I'm not going to be able to do all this. This is a lot. This is on a full moon on a Saturday with the colours purple, blue and white at 7 p.m. with offerings of a conch shell, gourd rattle, bowl of cornmeal, using herbs of celery, iris, nutmeg, jasmine, lavender. Relevant planet is Neptune. The incense is lavender and jasmine. Well, I've got some lavender in my cleansing bowl. It says reference to the Psalms 49, 78, and 95. And then it says some helpful tips. Drink jasmine tea. I might actually have some, so I'll go and brew some of that before I do this. I'll try and get as much right as I can. I mean, I'm not waiting for a full moon on a Saturday at 7 p.m. Who knows when that'll be? I need to get this episode out at some point. Use a bay leaf in cooking to increase psychic awareness. I'll look if I've got any bay leaves in the cupboard. I think I'm actually out of bay leaves right now. But I'll sniff some. I'll have some on hand. Or maybe I'll take a bite out of one. Let's do this right. So I'm going to go and get all this stuff prepared, I think. And then I might get Becca to help me when she gets back. And we'll light the incense. And we'll get this psychic powers. I'm going to read through this information here. And yeah. I'll be back. Becca?
Yeah?
You gonna help me do some voodoo?
I'm being roped in, yeah.
Right, okay. So basically I opened this envelope.
Yeah. What was that now then?
And I read, there was some general advice on a letter. So inside the envelope was another envelope.
Right.
And it keeps going into more and more envelopes until you get to a coin that says voodoo on it. No, there's one. There's two letters inside this envelope. Oh, I read this one.
It's like a seal.
Yes.
Okay.
I read this on the episode already.
Right.
It's all about doing it. It's about bringing your own positive energy.
Right.
And then this is how I develop the psychic powers.
Right, okay.
So this is what it says.
Are you going to bring them on?
No. Oh. Well, psychic.
Aww.
So the extra information, I went through this. For best effects, you should really follow these informations.
Yeah.
Do it on a Saturday.
Or Sunday.
So bad start.
Do you want to wait until next weekend?
No, wait, I've got to get this episode out, haven't I? I'm going to do as much as I can. Wait until it's a full moon.
I don't know when. Is it? Have you checked?
No, I don't think it is. Make an offering of a conch shell, a gourd rattle, and a bowl of cornmeal. We've got cornmeal.
Is it in date?
Doesn't matter, does it?
When is the next full moon? Sunday, October 9th. It is full moon.
It's a full moon?
Yeah.
Right, okay, this is getting a good start.
I think, hold on, that's EDT. What's EDT time?
That's fine. That's today. It's the same day.
UK. Yeah, it is.
Right, perfect. Do we have any jasmine tea?
We might.
Right. I don't think we've got any bay leaves. What I'll do is, when I run out of bay leaves in cooking, I use oregano, so I'm going to use that.
You're going to fuck this up. You're going to substitute so much that you're not going to end up psychic. You're not going to end up with psychic powers. You're going to end up with, like, psychic, poo or something like
that. Whoa. Hang on a minute there. Someone panicked. What's psychic poo? Go on.
Your bowels know when you got to go.
Well, I know when I've got to go.
You're just going to mess it up and it's going to go wrong.
Well, we'll see.
Because you're substituting too much.
Well, let's ignore all that stuff for now.
You've only got one thing on the list.
No, let's ignore all that stuff for now. Let's just see what it says, because I haven't read this. How to develop psychic powers. Ready? During this and all other spiritual workings, it is best that you ensure that there will be no unwanted noises or disturbances to upset the energy flow you will be creating.
Is that what you asked me to help out? So I'm not.
Exactly. Doing so you're not background. Got the sewing machine going in the background, basically.
Oh, okay.
First, gather small, equal amounts of 9 of the following herbs. So let's go. Let's get in the herb drawer.
9 amounts.
We need 9 different ones, right?
Well, you need the.
What? What are you doing?
The little spoon. So you've got equal amounts.
Right. Yeah. But don't worry about there it. We have to get our mixture out first. Let's see how many of these we've got.
Get the bowl out.
No.
Okay.
Flipping it, making a right mess of this. Let's just see what we've got first. So, finger grass.
No.
Anise seed.
Star anise, yeah.
Got a star anise, that'll do. Burning bush.
No.
Celery seed.
No.
Lemon balm.
No.
Parsley.
Yeah.
Got some fresh parsley.
Are you gonna do this now, or are you gonna go and get some?
No, I'm gonna do it now. It says 9 of the following. There's loads here.
Right, okay. Oh,
so we're gonna see if we can have 9 of these.
Right.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Right, got that.
Cinnamon.
Mint.
Well, there's some outside.
What's that on the windowsill?
No, there's some outside. I moved outside.
Right, mint.
There might be a little bit.
Where is that on the windowsill? Is that from before you went away?
Yeah.
How is that not dead? I think that's coriander.
It's magical. It might be coriander.
Mint. Sage.
Might be some of the freezer.
Thyme.
Yeah.
Got thyme.
Mm-hmm. I think the one outside is dead.
Rosemary.
Yeah, that's some outside.
Right, someone's getting excited about their little herb garden. Bethel root.
No.
Botchu leaves.
No.
Bugle weed.
Excuse me.
Calendula. Calendula flower.
Calendula. No.
Right. Eyebright.
No.
So how many have we got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I've got.
You're gonna have to
lemons. Pick. I've got lemons in the fridge for lemon balm.
No.
I'm trying to make the closest thing I
You're
can.
You're gonna have to go to the.
No, Becca, we can do this.
I don't need to budget though.
I'm gonna. We've got no celery, have we?
Lemon.
I'm just gonna grate a little bit, a zest, a little bit of lemon.
You're actually doing this. Are you doing this on the budge?
No, this is how you do it.
What do you need from outside? Mint and rosemary.
Mint, rosemary. You said sage is in the freezer.
I've got lavender. Try this.
I've got lavender. No, I've got lavender anyway. It's in my mix. Let me have a look in the freezer.
Come down here in the freezer. I've got thyme in the freezer.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got thyme out of the freezer as well. Okay, not a big deal. I've got rosemary here.
Right.
I've got mint here. So you don't have to get any of that. We'll use the frozen shit. Nothing but the best for my. I've got curry leaves. I've got rocket chilies. I don't think we have sage. How many have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait.
You'd have told me, I could have got some.
Wait, no. Star anise. You said we had some star anise.
Oh, maybe. It's in that pot. Pot. That jar. Rosemary's back there, look.
Well, bloody hell, we've got more rosemary than you can shake a stick at. We've got it dried, frozen, fresh.
That rosemary's probably...
Rasal Hanu. Oh, wait, that's star anise, isn't it? No, that's chilli flakes.
It's in one of these jars, if it wasn't.
Yeah, I think I've used it all.
I think you've used it all, too.
I think I've used it. Wait. No, that's cardamom. Star anise?
Hey.
No, they're closed. Oh, wait, there's a star one in there. Right, okay. So, well, we don't even need star anise. We need anise seeds, but that's the next best thing. What's a burning bush? Shall I go and cut some of my pubes off?
Right. So, how many are short, then?
Two.
Oh. Shall I go just nip round the shop?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We're going to bodge it.
Right, I'm gonna push some pause for a minute while I work this out. Right, so what we've got here
is a little bit of a psychic substitute.
Yeah, kind of. We didn't have any seed, but I put some star anise in there.
Yeah.
Didn't have any celery seed, but I did put some
caraway
seed in.
Yeah.
It begins with C and it's a seed. And I also put in some fennel seed because I was another thing short.
You're reaching.
I didn't have any lemon balm, so I did some lemon zest. I did put in fresh parsley, cinnamon powder, and a little bit of cinnamon root.
Have we got lemongrass in there? Because it might be better.
No. Mm. Mint, thyme, rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. 9 different things. Okay, with a mortar and pestle, grind and thoroughly mix the 9 herbs together.
Right.
As you do this, keep your mind completely clear of any other purpose beside development of psychic abilities. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to light this now to clear my mind while I grind this up.
Right, I'll just put it in the metal.
Well, tell you what, we'll put it in that and then we'll put that in the mortar and pestle.
Mm-hmm.
So get the mortar and pestle.
It's there.
Oh, my mistake.
Probably should have done the washing up before you start this.
I've got to get on bed, haven't I? Right. So, let's just rest that there. I'm going to put all this in the mortar and pestle.
So it's
that. No, it's fine. It's like ASMR for the listeners, this bit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the shell.
Right, put it in there.
And we get a pinch of
this.
Yeah, and burn stuff in it.
Right.
So. You
got the matches?
Yeah. And then we get the matches. Take a match out and strike it.
Set the mic on.
No, I like this. Have we got any feathers? Have you got a feather?
I do. You can do it with a burner.
No. I need to use it to waft the flame.
I do have a
film. What do you think to the smell so far?
It keeps going up.
Third time's a charm. Ready?
It's quite pungent.
Yeah.
Just lay it down on it. Just like lay it down. Don't you set my feather on it. No, it's going. Woohoo.
See? Right, here we go. We've got a good flame going now. And I've got to waft the flame with this feather. Right, we're cleansing. While that cleanses, I'm going to grind this up. I've got this. It's pungent, isn't it? Do you feel cleansed? My mind was clear while I was doing that. Oh, I've just got to sit and think about psychic abilities while I grind a little bit more. Right. Thanks for helping me with this, by the way. When you feel the herbs are blended and empowered, place some of the mixture into a clean purple cloth and tie with black yarn to make a gree-gree bag and place the bag under your pillow.
Does it give you a purple cloth?
I'm going to go and find that stuff. I'll be back. Can't find the purple bag. It had D&D dice in it.
Is it in here?
No.
Or in there?
No.
Are you sure?
No, because I know where it was. It's been years since I saw it, I was just hoping it would still be there.
What, do you need purple cloth?
A piece of purple cloth and a piece of black string.
Well, I got black string.
Right, halfway there. I mean, purplish. I've got a bluish sock. I might actually have a purple sock, you know.
Wait, I might have something.
Well, that's a cloth, isn't it? Let's have a look in the sock drawer. Here you go. In a way, this is better because you can put it all in the sock and then tie the sock up. Becca?
Are you using that?
Yeah.
This
is clean cloth. And it's purple. And it's an odd sock. It's almost like I knew to hold on to this odd sock. Right, purple material. Put all this in there and tie it up with some black string. That's made an interesting smell, hasn't it?
Mm. It smells a lot nicer when it's not burnt.
Yeah. It's right up in my cavity.
Sinuses.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right, there's your bit of black string.
Hang on a sec. Right, this is all in here. To make this a smaller bag,
mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to cut this. Perfect. This looks like a little gree-gree bag.
Maybe they are just socks cut in half. Do you have to tie it in a special way?
No.
Right.
Just says tie it. Right, there's my bag.
Mm-hmm. What does it say next?
Put it under my pillow. I place it under my pillow at night. Before bedtime, burn some of the mixture on a small charcoal made for the burning of resin, incenses, and herbs. Use psychic potion oil to anoint a glass enclosed purple 7-day candle and light before bedtime.
Are you missing some bits?
No, I've got a candle.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Right, okay. Great.
So I put this under my pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I burn some of the stuff
mm-hmm.
before bed.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Burn a bit of a candle before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, we like to make our psychic potion oil, which we use to anoint ourselves, candles, and objects by blending some of the herb mixture with a pure base oil like jojoba in a purple glass jar. Stir the mixture clockwise with a wooden spoon, continuously focusing on your purpose. Allow the jar to sit, covered with a lid, in a dark place for at least 9 days.
Wow.
Then bring the jar outside in a clear and sunny day and briefly uncover it.
allowing the sun to shine in. This symbolizes your own psychic enlightenment, which comes from the darkness to light. Afterwards, put the lid back on and store it inside a cool, dry area.
Mm-hmm.
You can use this potion oil to anoint your third eye at bedtime and any other time you especially need second sight. Be creative and trust your instincts and judgment in creating new uses for the oil, herbs, etc.
Mm.
So I'm not going to do the oil. It says it's just a suggestion. Mm. I'm a newbie. I've cleansed the area.
Mm-hmm.
I've made my gree-gree bag.
Yeah.
I need to go and place this under my pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that cleanses my sleeping area.
Do the candle later.
And then later on, burn a bit of a candle. Burn a little bit of the mixture out of here.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I clock in tomorrow and see how I feel. Mm-hmm. See if I'm feeling any better.
Yeah.
Done. We voodooed.
We could do the oil. I mean, not today, but like, let's try again next week.
Right. Thanks for your help.
It's okay.
I think it was a success.
Well, we'll find out.
And tomorrow I'm going to be reading minds.
Mm.
And that's it. Maybe I'll try this again and let anyone know if I develop anything. I'm pretty skeptical at the moment, but that's not the right attitude, is it? I have to be focused and believe in it and bring my own positivity. So I'll let anyone know listening if anything happens to my psychic abilities. But for now, thanks for listening. Love you lots. You know you can get in contact at wtatupod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter. It's @BobShoy. That's @BobShoy. And you can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com for links to whatever you want to find. You can buy merch, you can support us monetarily, you can send messages directly through that, all that stuff. And you can also find us on Facebook and all the other things. You know where to find us by now. Next time we're going to be continuing the Indiana Jones season. We're going to be talking about the Holy Grail from The Last Crusade. Tis is hosting that one. And then finally we'll be tackling the Crystal Skull after that. So look forward to those ones. And until then, see you later. Love you lots. Bye-bye.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.